Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
I doubt that there's a godly person who lives in this country of ours that doesn't know just how increasingly difficult it is to live in a society that is spiritually sick. A society that put God not on the back burner, but completely off the thought process. Certainly, it is evident to me that families are at stake, and that we as parents or grandparents or those who intend to be parents must choose wisely. Choose wisely if moral and spiritual disaster is to be avoided in the home. In Philippians 2 and verse 15, we are taught that living in the midst of a godless society is not unusual for Christians. Paul writes, "We are to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." So the fact is that you and I can overcome. The 21st century America is no worse than the first century at Philippi, Corinth, or certainly not worse than that which pervaded the atmosphere at Rome. We have been looking at lives of Old Testament characters in our studies, and we've seen the consequences of sin in the life of Eli and in the life of David. I would suggest to you that perhaps there's no Bible family that depicts the dangers of living in a sinful environment than does the family of Lot. That story is doubly tragic when we consider that Lot freely chose his place in society. He freely picked his place to live. Lot's reasons for that choice and the results thereof have applications to us today. When Abram and Lot came out of Egypt, they both were blessed with riches and many cattle. They had so many, in fact, that the land couldn't bear their flocks and herds feeding together. It was no surprise that strife arose among the herdsmen. In Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 6 to 9, we read of a most generous offer made by Abram. Two motives appear to have been uppermost in his mind. First, the possible negative influence of a quarrel between God's people on those native Canaanites and Pezerites among whom they lived. And second, it seemed uncharacteristic of a wise old patriarch to fight over material concerns. And even though Abram, as the eldest, had the right to choose first, he abrogated that right and gave it to Lot. I call your attention now, if you have your Bible with you, to a passage that's found in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning in verse 6. There the Bible says, "Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Pezerites then dwell in the land. So Abram said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left.'" What a magnanimous gesture on the part of Abram. Lot chose, as you well know from your Bible study, the plain of Jordan. That's found in Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 13. And from a standpoint of the physical, it was a very good decision. It's evident that Lot made a sound business decision. The plain was well watered everywhere. Verse 10 compares it to the Garden of Eden, about which we read in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. There's no wonder, is there, that Lot made that choice to pitch his tent toward Sodom? Or is there? Lot's choice was good from a physical standpoint, but Lot did not consider the moral ramifications. History shows that Sodom was one of the five cities on the plain. The inhabitants were probably Canaanites, according to Genesis 10, verses 15 through 19. Each city had a king, even Zoar, the smallest of the five. The cities were located in a circle, probably somewhere southeast of the Dead Sea. And even though we know little of the size or the inhabitants or the exact location of Sodom and Gomorrah, we do know for certain the character of its people. Verse 13 tells us that very succinctly. Therein we read, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." So why did Lot choose Sodom? Why couldn't Lot see the foolishness of his choice and the disaster that lay at the doorstep of such a choice and the certainty thereof? To answer that may help us in making decisions today. First of all, Lot failed to look at the past. There's a striking resemblance between the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Twice in the New Testament, we see those placed side by side, their generations side by side. In Luke, the 17th chapter, Jesus speaks of his coming judgment upon the Jews. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke, and therein I would like to read in chapter 17, beginning in verse 26. Jesus said, "Just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, and they were drinking, and they were marrying, and they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, and they were drinking, and they were buying, and they were selling. They were planning, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." There is a record of the historic account of the place that Lot freely chose to live and to raise his family. In Peter's second epistle, he speaks of the Lord's ability to deliver the godly and to reserve the unjust for punishment. To illustrate, Peter uses Noah and Lot in 2 Peter 2, verse 4 through 8. Lot could not have been ignorant of the flood and why it came. His journeys with Abram placed him in constant presence of God, and his own relationship with God should have shown how God hated sin. But Lot ignored that. He didn't pay attention to that as being important. He placed his family in the wicked environment of the cities of the plain. Well, second, Lot not only failed to look at the past, but he failed to look to the future. Lot forgot to count the cost of his move. You and I should consider that in any move that we anticipate. It was true then, as it is today, that evil companionships corrupt good morals. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Lot should have asked himself some very important questions. First of all, what effect will Sodom have on the spiritual well-being of my family? Second, who will my children want to marry? Third, who will influence them? And who will be the greater influence, the good or the evil? Certainly, it is not hard to see the application of those questions today in our lives. Surely Lot placed material prosperity before spiritual prosperity. The Lord asked, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Matthew 16 and verse 26. Have you ever given serious thought to the words that we just quoted from Matthew 16? To own the whole world, all of its riches, all of its power, all of it for me. It's hard to imagine even having a small piece of this world, but Jesus says the soul is worth more than all of the world. Like many of us, Lot forgot his priorities, didn't he? He forgot the spiritual needs of his family. By contrast, Abram went through the land building altars and calling on the name of the Lord. I wonder how many altars Lot built in Sodom. Certainly if he did, the influences of the Sodomites blotted them out and their purpose. And so it is with us today in our world. We will never gain the whole world, probably won't even get as much as Lot had. But you know what? We're losing our souls, pursuing just a little piece of the crust. What of our present decisions? What present decisions are you contemplating making? If it's a good job, if it's a good education, if it's an attractive marriage partner, and they lead you away from Christ, is that a good choice? If you're planning a move, is there a faithful congregation where you're moving? Will they build you up, or will they tear you down? Is your next decision made for yourself, or is it made for God? Lot's choice brought tragic results. He lived in the midst of sin. Never has there been a more wicked city than Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 13 and verse 13. Genesis 18 verse 20 and 21. Genesis 18 and verse 32. Genesis 19 verse 7 and verse 13. Verify that statement. And while sodomy may not have originated there, it certainly owes its reputation to that dark place. The dictionary gives us sordid details, but I will simply say in our broadcast today that it is what we call homosexuality. Sodomy is a crime against God, and it is a crime against fellow man. Make no mistakes. Regardless of how our government tries to legislate against our calling forth the sinful nature of homosexuality, God is clear in his feelings toward that terrible disposition on the part of mankind. No child is born with those tendencies. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3 that unless you are like a little child, that you can't be pleasing to him. Who would think that a little child could have those diabolical tendencies? An infant is pure and holy. A sodomite is the very opposite. Leviticus 18, verse 22. Leviticus 20, verse 13. Romans 1, verse 26 and 27. And 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10 makes that statement very clear. It is a disgusting sin, and it's on the rise in our society. The homosexuals cry for understanding. They say that it cannot be helped. They cry for acceptance, and they say that's just the way that we are. They cry for civil rights. And I would tell you that it is a sin. It is a diabolical sin, and no homosexual has any chance of salvation. How long will it be before we face the situation of Lot? The scriptures say, both old and young, all the people from every quarter came to Lot's door. Not even the guests were safe and left in peace. Only the power of heaven's angels thwarted the lustful designs of Lot's homosexual natures. His soul was tormented daily because of that. 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8. I'd say right here that I'm thankful for Peter's statement. I'm thankful concerning what he said about Lot and his attitude and his character. For without that statement, I would surely have misjudged him. Just Lot, that righteous man, is how he is described by inspiration. We're told by his righteous soul was oppressed, was wearied and worn down by his neighbor's sensual conduct. The vexation of spirit was repeated day after day as righteous Lot was forced to hear and to see the lawless deeds that surrounded him. Surely, he wondered often why he chose and stayed in such an evil place. He surely spent countless hours regretting the decision that he had made to live in such a place. Lot lost his children. Some may have been destroyed in the city. weren't sure how many daughters he had. Some had married the godless men of Sodom, Genesis 19, verse 14. In their later incestuous relationships in the mountain cave with their father, there cannot be a doubt of Sodom's evil influences on them. When you read Genesis 19, beginning in verse 31 through 38, you see that God's standard was contemptible in the sight of the daughters of Lot. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis the 19th chapter, and let's begin reading in verse 31. There the Bible says, "Now the firstborn said to the younger, 'Our father said, is old, and there is no man on earth to come into us after, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, and we may preserve the lineage of our father.' So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, 'Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father.' Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. And thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son, and his name was Moab, and he is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger she also bore a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day." That is a disgusting story. Can you just stop and think a bit about the choices that Lot had in that story? Certainly the choices and the designs of his daughters were evil to the core, but I would suggest to you that this was not the first time that Lot had been with wine. This was not the first time that Lot had gotten drunk. I would suggest to you that the daughters did not tie him down and pour that wine down his throat, that they came to Lot in an established way, and Lot chose to do those things where his sensibilities would be dulled, where he would do things that he might not do when he was sober. And they used that, his daughters did, to bring him into a situation where a gross sin was committed. The psalmist says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Psalms 127 and verse 3. If only Lot had realized that the greatest wealth isn't in herds and flocks and how much they have to graze and how much land, that his greatest possession was not his tent. It was, in fact, his children. The Bible teaches parents today not only to provide for the physical needs of their children, but the spiritual needs also. And I would suggest to you that the spiritual needs are much more important than the physical. How many parents have given their children everything from the physical standpoint, but they forgot to give them the most important thing, and that is knowledge about the Lord, a relationship with Jesus Christ, an example after which they can follow to stead themselves well in the day of judgment. We are, according to Ephesians 6 and verse 4, to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They must not only learn right from wrong and good from bad, they need to learn a desire for good. They need to learn to detest evil. We seem to correct them when they show hate for evil, and that is not consistent, is it, with the Word of God? It's a matter of education. Godliness cannot be forced on anyone. Education takes time. The older the child gets, the more time it takes to teach applications of spiritual principles. Social pressures tend to cause children and parents both to make wrong choices. We need at times my friend, to put in the forefront of our decision-making process the story of Lot and what happened to him. Lot also lost his wife. Her years in Sodom had eroded away her respect for God. You and I can put our wives in dangerous atmospheres where the environment does little, if anything, to promote spirituality. The wife of Lot had a desire to look back, and it cost her life. Her heart was still in the wicked city. In Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 31 and 32, we see the Bible dealing with her desire for the physical. How often do we look back to the physical and desire the material rather than the spiritual? Where can the responsibility be placed for Lot's loss of his family? Certainly, I would suggest to you that each person stands accountable for his own actions. The children stood accountable for their actions and their sinful life. The wife stood responsible for her actions and her choice of the material rather than the spiritually. But I would also suggest to you that Lot must have regretted his own initial decision to pitch his tent toward Sodom. And Lot, as leader of that household, had a responsibility to his family, in which he failed miserably. He lost every material thing that he had used as a criterion for choosing that site to live in the first place. He went in full and he came out empty. Genesis 19 and verse 30. The parting scene of divine history leaves Lot as a poverty-stricken old man, leaving him in a cave with two immoral daughters. The conclusion, John 17, verse 15 and 16, teaches that although Christians live in the midst of an evil world, we must not become a part of that world. We cannot avoid every evil. We can overcome evil, though, with good. Lot's family shows the foolishness of compromising our soul salvation for a mess of pottage. Wise saints will not place their trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. What choices are you making for yourself? What choices are you making for yourself that include your family? How are you protecting yourself from a perverse generation? Let me suggest to you that one choice that you can make that will be good for you spiritually, that will be better for your family than any other choice that you can possibly make, is to provide for them not only spiritual leadership, but an environment in which they can grow spiritually. I believe that part of that environment exists at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We have a group of young people here that are just outstanding. Young people that you would like your children to be around, to grow up with, to learn from. I pray that you will take the opportunity to come and visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, which is located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix. That's about a half a mile north of McDowell, one block less than a half mile north of McDowell on 40th Street. It's on the west side of the street. We assemble for Bible study twice a week, one time at 9:30 on Sunday morning, the other at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Following our Sunday morning Bible study, we have a worship service wherein we, according to the authority of the Bible, worship God the way that He directs. We sing praises to Him, we pray, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we give of our means. We have a lesson that morning. We do those things to worship God, to show Him how much we love Him. And the byproduct of that is that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become closer to Him. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Come study the Word of God with us. Bring your Bible, compare the things that you hear taught, at the Monte Vista Church of Christ with what the Bible authorizes taught. We do our best to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent, and we invite you to come and worship with us. I appreciate you listening today, and I pray that this week you'll have an unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.